Like, I just need to be me. And like, that was the most important thing for me, was recognizing the fact that while the show itself was good at the beginning and got me started, I needed to grow.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of Pop, the podcast on podcasting. I'm your host, Adam Triple A Adams. And I'm stoked because we got a legend on the show. What's going on, Michael? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Legend. I mean, we're going to have to live up to that moniker, but I appreciate it. I mean, no one's ever called me that before, so I'm ready to go, ready to prove my worth.
Love it. Yeah. When I looked up your podcast, you have more traction than most podcasters on Apple. And I thought it was really interesting. I thought maybe I should have you on the show to kind of give some insight to it. And I like what we're really going to deliver to the listener, who is also a podcaster, is how to be themselves. So I'm stoked about that. Now, you do title insurance for commercial real estate, so I'll probably have you on my other show. You're out of New Jersey, and a while back, you started a daily show on LinkedIn, and your LinkedIn handle is already in the show notes right now, but you started a daily show on LinkedIn, and it kind of morphed into something else. Why don't you take the story from there and then tell us what's going on with your podcast, and then we'll dive into all the content.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So the show itself, the Morning Spotlight, started back in May of 2020. Obviously, there were some significant current events that happened at the beginning of 2020, especially here in New Jersey. COVID started in March. I don't know if you heard, but that was like a big thing that kind of shook the world, right? So March, I started running some virtual networking events. I had always done in-person networking events, like set those up here in New Jersey, whether they were for young professionals or for real estate folks. Started doing those right out of the gate, like didn't wait to kind of see like what happened. We would run them every Tuesday night, 5 p.m. We would get 35 to 45 people every week. We did it for 13 straight weeks, which was awesome that we were able to kind of get that level of traction, but also super depressing that we were, you know, had to do it for that long. We still do them. We just do them every other week now. And we still have like a lower number of engagement with those, but still we just kind of keep them going for people to get something to do. But I was posting a lot on LinkedIn about those events. And I had always been somewhat active on LinkedIn, but when I started doing those and started tagging the people that were there and all that kind of stuff, all of a sudden, like my posts started to grow. So I was getting like 1,000, 2,000, sometimes more views every time I would post on LinkedIn. And so I was like, well, maybe there's a way to kind of leverage this to a certain, you know, like a next level type thing. So I was like, I had always heard that video was a great way to get more interaction with people on LinkedIn. So I was like, maybe I'll just start a show. Like I had like no idea. I had never listened to a podcast or anything like that before. I just knew that I had like a lot of people that I could talk to and maybe use that platform that I had built as more of like a selfless kind of way and try to attract people to, you know, me and the people that I'm networking with and kind of help everybody grow during a time where people just were starving for human interaction. So started doing that. And I figured I would do it Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. I would post an episode. It was like a 5-minute interview. We called it the Morning Spotlight because in the morning we would spotlight someone. So very simple, very basic. I figured I would go for probably like, I don't know, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, COVID would be over. I would run out of content and I kind of get back to doing my normal routine as far as like networking. Because as a title insurance salesperson, I just go out and network with people. You know, I go out for lunch, I go out for drinks, I go out for dinners, I go out to events. Couldn't do any of that because all of it was shut down. So I started this little interview series and the feedback I got initially was awesome. And obviously did not just go the 3 or 4 weeks. I wound up going 12 weeks. So I did 60 episodes over a 12-week span and I don't have like a team. So I was recording, scheduling, editing, re-recording in a lot of cases because I was bad as a host. And my guests, I would give them the questions beforehand. A lot of them were just very uncomfortable on camera. So a lot of them came with pre-written, answers. So they'd show up and it was like very stiff and the whole thing. But we wound up doing 60 episodes, which was a big accomplishment. And I was very proud of that. At the same time, I was getting burnt out just doing that, especially like we were getting into the summer months. People weren't as available. I wanted to be outside and not just sitting on my computer editing LinkedIn videos. So eventually transitioned it into what the show is today because I wanted more of my personality to shine through. I wanted it to be less scripted, more organic conversations, dive into topics a little bit deeper rather than just asking 3 questions and kind of go from there. So The show started, I think it was July 14th of 2020 in its current iteration. We did a lot of panel episodes at the beginning and eventually kind of morphed that down into one-on-one interviews where we'll have people on, predominantly real estate professionals, where we'll talk about a real estate topic or we'll talk about like their career in real estate, whatever that may be. We do some other stuff. Like if I have an episode that I want to post on Thursday that doesn't fit the real estate thing, I'll throw it up on a Thursday, just like stuff I'm interested in. So we've done mental health, health and fitness. We've had professional athletes on. We got a couple more cool people coming up over the next several weeks. So I'm really excited about that. So that is kind of like the abridged version, you know, over the 10 months that I've been doing this show. So that's like the SparkNotes version, but hopefully that kind of gives some insight into how it kind of built.
Yeah, that's cool. So it was called on LinkedIn, it was called, you know, the morning spotlight because you were spotlighting somebody in the morning. You, just like me, I thought maybe COVID would last 3 weeks. I heard a lot of people be like, this is going to be 3 weeks. And I'm like, no way, it's going to be more like 3 months. And I was wrong. Well, I think most of us were.
We were all wrong. It doesn't matter if you say 3 weeks or 3 months. It's still wrong.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's still kind of happening even as we record, you know, 10, 11 months later. But I wanted to ask you, did you keep the name when you transferred it over to your podcast on iTunes?
Yes. So I went through a week process of figuring out what this new show was going to be called. And eventually, like I probably still have the notepad somewhere of just like me just writing down like, you know, different names, Mike Ham, maybe trying to incorporate the spotlight because I knew I had built a little bit of a brand over that 3 month span with the people that I had on LinkedIn. And eventually I was just like, what are you doing, you dummy? Like you just built this thing over a 3 month window with 60 episodes, a lot of content. People were really into it. Why not just keep it? Like, granted, you know, it's not the podcast I'm podcasting. That definitely tells me what this podcast is about. So the morning spotlight, you have to kind of like dig a little bit deeper to know what it's all about. But the core people that I had coming from LinkedIn to go listen to the show in its current form knew what the morning spotlight was. They recognized this logo. They recognized me. And like, you know, I just eventually just kind of morphed myself with my own brand. So I'm Mike Ham of the Morning Spotlight. And that kind of people recognize that now. So that I just kept the name. So I think I had done the work and built the brand that way. So I was like, let's just keep rolling with it as is.
And I'm looking it up. I like the logo, by the way. As I'm looking it up, I'm noticing a couple things. I'm noticing it appears like you're doing about 2 episodes a week. That's one thing that I saw. The other one is that with your logo and the morning spotlight, you don't have a subtitle that really calls the new avatar, like your avatar, but they don't already listen to it. They're scrolling through and it like grabs their attention. If you did one of those, what would it say? How to do real estate? Would it say shooting the breeze? What would be the tagline?
That's tough. It would have to be something with the spotlight in it, right? So I think it would have to be something like, you know, putting your favorite business real estate professionals in under the spotlight. We do a closing segment called Under the Spotlights, and the blog that I have on my website, which is just the show notes kind of put on the website, is called Under the Spotlight. So I think it would be something like that. So putting your favorite real estate professionals under the spotlight, something to that effect. I would have to flesh that out a little bit more, but that's a good idea. I should probably
I like that in there. With your show notes, you said that you have a blog on your website that you put the show notes up. And I think that's great. And I think it kind of pulls SEO into the mix and helps grow your website. And it also just in a couple of ways, it grows your website because you're constantly updating your website. And it also grows it because of the SEO, the search engine optimization of having all those keywords. I wanted to ask, based on how you do the show notes, is this a full transcription or is it kind of like a condensed version? Or third, is it kind of like saying something to the effect of, you know, on this episode with Adam Adams, you're going to learn the 5 ways to utilize social media. Or on this episode with, I don't know, John Johnson. That's all I could think of right now.
Mike Mikes.
You have Mike's mic right in front of you. On this episode, we're going to have Mike Mikes teach us, you know, the 3 ways that are going to help you be yourself on your podcast. But it doesn't answer them. So out of the 3 options, like, what do you do for your show notes.
This is going to be the worst. This is going to be the worst answer ever. It's option four, I think. So basically, I feel like the more that the show has grown, I've been pulled in so many different directions to try to like help the show grow. Because like I said, I'm head chef and chief bottle washer here at the Morning Spotlight. And I also have a 9-to-5 job where I sell title insurance and need to deal with clients literally all day and sometimes into the evening hours. So when I put the show notes together, but basically what I do is I take the bio that I have for that person and that kind of becomes the show notes because we are highlighting somebody. I will usually try to put in like a paragraph or a couple sentences about like what we talked about just to make sure that like some of those words are missed. We can kind of add them in, but that's usually what it is. So I know that's not the best way because I know probably all three of those are the best way. But at the same time, like I have, you know, like a LinkedIn profile that I need to manage. I'm still doing all the editing, putting together the show notes, updating the website, doing all the stuff on my own just because like I'm not a control freak, but I just like to be in control. Yeah. I have like a specific way I want to do it. So that's kind of the way that it is now. The show notes now are way better. I know that than maybe they were at the very beginning when I started the show, just because I've evolved since then. I only started doing the blog because I heard maybe somebody on Clubhouse mention that that helps drive some SEO to your website. And I was like, I could do that because I already have these, you know, 45 episodes posted. So why not just throw them on there? So I know that that's not the best answer. And I know that you wouldn't recommend doing it that way. That's just how I have it set up right now.
Okay, so I will share how we do show notes on this episode just since we're on the topic of it. And we have a 6-part system for doing show notes. And I don't know if I'll have it all memorized, you know, right now because there are 6 parts and I'm ADD and squirrel. Anyway, as I think it'll be valuable to a listener to hear the different ways. And so we're more of out of the 3 options that I gave you. The one that we focus on the most is in this episode, we talk about how to do this one thing. So it kind of gets you intrigued, but it doesn't actually spell it out and answer all those questions. But we do 6 parts. The first part is a summation of the episode. So it's like a 1 or 2 sentences. This is kind of what you're going to get from the episode. Like in the beginning of this episode, I told the listener, who's also a podcaster, I said, in this episode, you're going to learn how to be yourself. You're going to learn that tip. And so that might be in the summation of this episode, for example. And once we do that, then we start doing the second part is the bullet points. So we throw out, for example, over the course of this interview, we've talked about your job. I don't know if we mentioned fidelity or anything like that, but we mentioned your role. We mentioned what you started doing with LinkedIn, how it morphed into something else, how you did 60 episodes. It started out stiff. You know, you felt like you were getting burned out. You transitioned. You went less scripted to more organic. We'll put a little bit of that, just a few bullet points. And then we do the bio to your guest, just like you do. So we just throw that bio in. And after that, I think that's 4 parts. So I still need 2 more. The last 2 is we generally, if you have a sponsor, we'll say this episode was sponsored by this place and this is what they do and how you get them, but it's super short.
Right.
And then finally, we have a little bit of your bio. We say Adam Adams is a podcast consultant. He helps you launch a podcast that gets in the top 1%. And this is his link to schedule a call. So it'll have those 6 parts. And that's what I suggest. And it's not too difficult if you have the time to be able to do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's jump into, I had another thing and squirrel.
It literally happens to me all the time. Like that's my show. It's like, I'm just going and then I'll like jump all over the place and like ask a question. And then maybe like 10 minutes later, be like, oh yeah, you know what I just thought of, or forgot this question earlier, but now I remember it. So now we're going to talk about it. So I get it, man. I get it.
Exactly. We go back and forth. And I think it's okay to do that because you're really just being yourself. You're not trying to be too perfect. And I think when you're trying to be too perfect, you get stiff when you're wearing a suit or a tie or whatever. If it doesn't feel like you, then you ought not to do it. And I noticed that, you know, most people that are experiencing this episode right now, they don't see you, unfortunately.
Right.
But you're wearing a pretty cool pink t-shirt with your own face on it. And what kind of hat is that called? I don't even remember the name of
it's a Boston Scally cap.
Got it. So I love it. And you've embraced it over time. And so I remember when I started trying to just be just who I was and not try to be perfect and not edit out. Some imperfections will edit out, but most of them just stay in there because it makes it feel like you're in the room with us.
Yeah.
So why don't you share kind of like the main things that changed as you went through your transition and started wearing your pink t-shirts on the show?
All right. Yeah. So when I started the show, I went to my boss and I said, hey, like I have this idea because I want to try to put together something where like, you know, it kind of gets my face out there for better or worse. You know, my mom says I'm handsome and get my face out there and try to generate some stuff because, you know, from a title insurance sales perspective, I mean, you're in real estate, so you kind of have an idea of like what we're all about. It's like a pretty old school industry. There's not a lot of title people, as far as I know, that are doing podcasts and doing the kind of stuff that I'm doing. So in that way, I kind of separate myself. So that was my, you know, initial thought process. When I put it on LinkedIn, and because I was interviewing people, like maybe they were clients or important networking partners of mine, I wanted it to be super professional because I thought I needed to fit in the box of like what the industry and the way that, you know, the people I was surrounding myself, what I thought that it needed to be. And that was good because I at least had the gumption to actually like get it started, you know, and like I just went for it, you know, typed out like a intro. I typed out my questions that I would ask. You know, they were pretty much standard throughout, you know, the whole 60 episode string there, and then an outro. And I used to put a Google Doc in the middle and read it, like write down, almost like a teleprompter. I make it like really narrow, so like you didn't see my eyes going like this. It's a little tip for anybody that does script and does also record it on video. But as I went through this whole like time period, I did a couple like blooper episodes, which were like some of my highest performing episodes, because I'm, you know, like, I don't think that I'm, you know, like a super professional, like very like by the book kind of guy. And I like to laugh at myself a lot. So that's why I put together those blooper episodes, made sure that the people that were in them were cool with it. And then, you know, but they all were. And I was like, man, that's like an interesting thing to note. So like, keep that in your back pocket for now. And then as I went, I started going through and I had a couple people on that were more experienced or more, you know, comfortable on camera and just kind of like talking candidly. But like, I was still stuck in that rut of being like super scripted and all that. So I was watching them back because I would watch them just to make sure that they all look good and everything. And I was like, man, like, and even in the doing the interview, I was always saying to myself, like, man, I really wish I could just like jump off and like ask a different question, but we got to keep this under 5 minutes or around 5 minutes. We got to get to the end. We got to, you know, get to this next question. Like, and what if I go down this rabbit hole of a conversation? I'm not comfortable doing it, blah, blah, blah. I started getting like almost too, this is going to sound bad, like too big for my britches. Like I wanted to like expand, you know, like I was doing it this way. And while it was good because it kind of got me started, it was like, eventually I kind of outgrew that way of doing it because I just got more comfortable on the mic and I wanted it to be more of me, because that was another thing that I did notice was that when I would have, let's say I have Adam Adams on and he's talking about the podcast on podcasting, I don't talk at all, basically. Like I say, I'm Mike Ham, I work for Fidelity National Title Group. And then I ask you three questions, I do my outro and that's it. You're doing most of the talking. So the whole point was to get me talking more and people talking to me more and getting my thoughts and ideas, as crazy as they may be, out into the world. And, you know, eventually we got to a point where that's kind of like why the show morphed. I think, am I still talking about the same question? Like, I think I just kind of like went off.
Hell yeah, you are.
Yeah. So that's good. Eventually I got to that point where I was like, I just need to be me. And like, that was the most important thing for me was recognizing the fact that like, while the show itself was good at the beginning and got me started, I needed to grow. And I couldn't just stay in like that little box. I needed to try new things. Like I'm the king of taking stuff, throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks. And this stuck. And so I was like, let's throw something else, you know? And then that just kind of kept evolving from there.
So I noticed a couple of things. You mentioned that with the three questions, it was 5 minutes. And I was just pulling up your episode a second ago as well. And I saw that most of them are right around 45 minutes, approximately. There's a couple that are 20. There's a couple that are barely over an hour, but they're like 40, 45, 50 minutes. And that's a lot different than a 5 minute episode. So I wanted to point that out first. Yeah. Another question that I had, I actually have two more questions on this. I'm thinking about the panel that moved to one-on-one, and I want to kind of get your feelings on why you did a panel and why you switched. And the other thing that I was thinking about was with why you went from 7 or 5 episodes a week, which I think is the math from 60 over 12 weeks,
yep,
to 2 a week, kind of what happened there, if you were not getting traction with the five or if you were feeling burned out. So really just wanted to talk about the panel change and the number of episodes per week change.
Yeah. So originally the show was, you know, scheduled to do just an episode a week. Like the new iteration of the Morning Spotlight was going to be a panel episode every Tuesday. To get 2, 3, 4 sometimes people on a panel every week is tough. And I wanted the show initially to be, and this is like one of my greatest strengths and one of my greatest weaknesses at the exact same time, is like planning is not necessarily something that I do very well. I just kind of like jump in. And then if I swim, I swim. If I drown, I guess I drown. But I kind of kicked it off with the panel idea because I wanted to focus on a topic, because I had seen a lot of podcasts or listened to some podcasts, because there's so many podcasts that are one-on-one interviews, right? And I was just interested to maybe get like a different vibe, a different conversation, because I feel like if we were going to talk about apartment investing, right, we could have you and another guy on the show, you know, together as a panel, and then do a totally different panel with different people, talk about the exact same thing and have a completely different conversation. So that's kind of was like my thought process going in. But as you could imagine, it's hard to get 3 or 4 people on a show every week. So that was one of the reasons why I switched. And another reason why I switched kind of out of that was that what I would do, and this was kind of like my metamorphosis into what the show is now, is the fact that I used to have my guests, or at least ask them, you know, if they did it, that was another story, to put together a Google Docs for me. So I'll get everybody editing power on a Google Docs, and I would ask them to kind of put some topics that they would want me to kind of throw their way throughout the conversation. So that was the reason why, one of the other reasons why I stopped doing that, because it was super hard to get people to actually do work before they got onto the show. So I eventually kind of scaled that back. And then I had done a couple one-on-one interviews throughout that. So like a couple of my first 10 episodes are not real estate focused. It's like one with Devin Harris, one with Hannah Huseman, like a couple other people that I just thought were interesting, I wanted to have on the show. And I was like, man, I'm actually pretty good at this one-on-one thing. I don't even need a Google Docs to get through it. That was kind of the other reason why it started to change. Like I needed to get out of the panel episode, do a one-on-one. We can still talk about a topic. We can get to know that person a little bit better. I kind of like the idea of having like a younger audience. So most of my listeners are between the ages of 25 and 35. And then having somebody that's in real estate and kind of learning how they got involved in real estate, because then that gives me the ability to kind of connect that guest to my audience. And in that way, I'm able to actually like try to, like you said before, like make them feel like they're in the room with us. Like, oh my God, like, wow, Adam does this. Like I'm in that same mindset, like right now, and I'm interested in getting involved in real estate and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's kind of a couple of the reasons why we switched. What was the other part of it? Did I answer all the questions?
The number of episodes.
Okay.
The number of episodes. You went from 5 to 2, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 to 2. It was like 5 to 1 to 2 to 1 to 2 again. So 5 was just way too much to kind of, even though they were only, you know, 5 to 10, I guess they were max 10 minutes. Because that's as much as you could upload natively onto LinkedIn. But they were predominantly around 5 minutes on average, most of them. And then that was just too many. And I just couldn't keep up with it. So eventually I was like, I'm going to do one episode a week. And then every now and then I would like see somebody, like whether it was on Instagram or on LinkedIn or wherever, and be like, wow, that, like, I really want to talk to that person. I have a podcast. Maybe I could just ask them. And that was like how I got a couple of those early guests on. So I didn't want to add those onto the Tuesday thing because I wanted Tuesday to be my real estate day. And I was like, you know, so when my listeners know that on Tuesdays, they're going to get some real estate stuff, Thursdays now is like kind of like my swing day, I guess. I could do like some other stuff and stuff that I find interesting because I am my demographic of who listens to my show. So having people that I think are interesting, hopefully my listeners also think that they're interesting. And even if they may not provide value to like a real estate perspective, maybe it kind of gives them some value of entertainment or a different way of looking at things or whatever it is. So it's kind of gone back and forth. I don't always have a Thursday guest, so I don't always post on Thursdays. I have been kind of, because it's like the winter, there's not a lot to do. I have just been doubling down on like recording and getting more people, whether it's through Clubhouse or whether it's through LinkedIn or whether it's through my newfound Instagram, you know, excitement, I guess. So doing it that way, I think like I just had more episodes that I was recording that fit that Tuesday real estate, Thursday something else, you know, format. So that's why I'm just trying something a little bit different this month and just making it a point to do 2 episodes a week and see how that goes. And then, you know, we can always adjust. I'm okay with adjusting. Like I know people sometimes want it to be very, you know, this is how it started, so this is how it has to keep going. that's not necessarily like my mindset, I guess. Like I'm okay with like trying new things because this is all new for me. Like I have no background in media or real estate or real estate. I have background in real estate, media or podcasting or anything like that. So I'm just trying it and whatever works for me or whatever I find interesting or fun or whatever, like I'm just going to go for it.
Well, I do have three stiff questions for you to ask in 5 minutes.
Okay.
The first one
ready
is, what about sponsorship? Do you have a sponsor? Do you want a sponsor on the show?
I technically have a sponsor right now because a buddy of mine has a soap company and he was like, hey, if I send you a couple bars of soap, can you read an ad for me? And I was like, sure. I don't make any money off the podcast itself. I use the podcast as a marketing and networking tool because I'm excited about when I get back to being able to do in-person events again, I can use the podcast to kind of give myself a new platform to kind of stand on. So I've had people on the show that I otherwise would not really be able to walk up and talk to because maybe they're a little bit above my station. So I just wanted to make sure that I can, like now when I actually go into those in-person events, I could be like, hey, you were on the podcast, you know, so something like that. So I don't have sponsors. I don't not necessarily like actively seeking sponsors. Like if somebody wants to throw me some money for the show, I'm not going to say no. But at the same time, like right now, I don't have a sponsor per se.
The second question, the second stiff question that I have for you in 5 minutes is, do you have a call to action at the end of your episodes? Like, for example, I know that you do title insurance and this is really a real estate show that you have
yep.
that is trying to pull people into you. And so at the end, is there an outro that says you need to work with Mike? This is how you do it. Or here's a lead magnet to you put your email in there and you can get this free cool thing. Or do you just say, by the way, I do title, call me, or is there no CTA?
I'm working on some stuff for that. I don't have it yet because one of the things that I've been trying to really hard to try to figure out is really how to connect the title insurance to the podcast, because I work for like a huge corporation on the title insurance end. Like we're the biggest underwriter in the country. And now I'm like kind of doing this podcast thing on my own. So I'm just figuring out like the most appropriate way to kind of marry the two. And I have some different ideas that I'm kind of working on to kind of see how they play. Right now I don't, but that's like another part of like the planning thing. But I feel like if I was on Clubhouse back when I started the show would be much further along than it is now. But, you know, it is what it is. So I'm trying a couple of different things. I was on a podcast that another person that I met through Clubhouse and the guy called, he was like, you must be the coolest guy in title insurance. So I think I'm going to try to like run with that and
love
use
it.
That as maybe like a tagline for myself. So we're going to see how that goes, but I'm going to try to add that in to something, whether it's like an outro or even like an intro or something like that to try to get more connection to the title insurance and the show.
I love that. I love that so much. And the second and a half question, because I only have three, it goes to, you were just talking about how you're on Clubhouse. And I think that it's a topic right now that a lot of people are thinking, how do I grow my show on Clubhouse? Have you seen a spike in numbers? Have you seen an uptick? What are the benefits for you being on Clubhouse as a podcaster?
So as far as audience numbers, slight uptick as in listeners per week, not much, but still something. But at the same time, like I do think that Clubhouse is a great way to kind of grow because like I started, you know, my Instagram kind of after I started the podcast, which was like something, it was like some bad advice I got from a friend. They were like, yeah, you don't need an Instagram. You don't have clients there. But that was just dumb. Anyway, so here we are. I have an Instagram and I started it and I really wasn't doing a lot with it. I would post like these boring 1 minute videos whenever I would post an episode. And that was pretty much it. I had like 100 followers and they're mostly just friends from my other personal account. And then I get on Clubhouse and next thing you know, I pretty much quadrupled my total number of followers in like a month. And that is directly from Clubhouse. And I think that maybe even though that the show itself, as far as listener numbers, hasn't grown exponentially from Clubhouse, and I'm sure that there are shows that that's happened, and because I talked to some people that has happened for them, but I do think that that has forced me to try to make sure that I'm putting out some better content on Instagram and try to grow that brand of the Morning Spotlight. So I think that I'm doing a better job at engaging with audiences, getting more engagement on the podcast and all that kind of stuff. And then as that grows, I think that so does the show. So I think that like me being able to put my personality, being able to put some more creative, like actually using like a Canva or using something like that to put some new stuff on there, to try to drive some interest to at least just the Instagram account, and then hopefully eventually transition them from Instagram into a listener. So I think that Clubhouse has been a great way for me to kind of grow. I mean, I do a room every day. I mean, it's actually going on right now, but my co-host is running it for me. But yeah, like I think that Clubhouse has just been a great way, at least just in, even in my opinion, maybe not grow like a numbers wise, but grow in a way that like now I'm learning things, like just going on this episode with you. I've learned a couple of things that I'm going to try and see if it works, because it's just how I do things. Like I'm like a chameleon. I adapt in that way. But just learning stuff from some guys I think are, you know, knowledgeable and all that kind of stuff, different ways to kind of help this show move further and further along has been a huge help for me. It's just like a great networking tool. Like just people on Clubhouse and podcasters especially just always seem very willing to give information. They're a very welcoming community and a very helpful community.
Love it. The third stiff question is, we're going to have to put an explicit sign because I said stiff so many times. Darn it.
Yeah.
So it's about being yourself. And I really want you to sum it up as if you're speaking to just the listener and not to me. The listener's most likely a new podcaster. They're either about to start or they've been doing it less than 2 years. And they're looking for tips and tricks and strategies to be able to be a better podcaster. And on this episode, we've illustrated that being yourself allows you to be able to connect with your audience better,
yep.
Allows your audience to be able to connect with you better. Ultimately, they'll do business with you. So there's a lot of benefit to finding a way to just own it. If you cuss, you cuss. If you have tattoos, you have tattoos. If you're businessy, you're businessy. And if you're not, if you're squirrely, you're squirrely.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I hope that that helped the listener. But why don't you take a moment to have maybe I call it a dialogue, not a monologue. I call it a dialogue with the listener to give them the main tips that they need in order to be better at being themselves.
Yeah. So to me, like that's almost like an oxymoron. I don't know if that's the right word, but an oxymoron question. So like when I hear people talk about like, how do you be authentic? Like, how do you try to be authentic? And to me, trying to be authentic doesn't make any sense, because if you're authentic, that's just who you are. You're just like, you are letting your personality shine through. And, you know, for the people listening, like, you know, if you are a certain way with like your family or your friends or whoever, odds are that's like the best version of yourself, right? You are the most comfortable. Like I'm my most comfortable around my friends and my girlfriend and my parents and my sister and all that. So when I was starting the podcast, it was more like I needed to fit in the box of what I thought people were expecting from a title insurance salesman from New Jersey that works for a big corporation. And even though that I was still able to kind of like, I mean, I had some fun with it. I mean, I made the logo and I had some catchy music and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like when I actually started talking, that wasn't Mike Ham. That was some, you know, Mike Ham cardboard cutout with like a robot voice in it. So for me, it was just a matter of just being like taking a look in the mirror and saying, when I go out for a beer with a client or a friend or my dad or whatever, I am the exact same way. Like I am just the same person. So I don't try to put on like this sham of like a salesy kind of pitchy type guy. I'm not a hard seller. I'm a soft seller. Like I'll be your friend first, and then we could talk about business after. So once I was like figured I wanted to have more of a conversation with my guest, because I get to talk to some really cool people, and whether they're like super famous or not, it doesn't matter. Like they have something to offer you and they're just regular people and they want to feel comfortable too. So the more comfortable I am in my own skin, and granted, like nobody I don't think is 100% comfortable with themselves, but the closer you can get to that, the more comfortable I think your guest will feel. Because, you know, you've seen it, like if you're on Clubhouse or if you're at a networking event or you're doing whatever, you can spot that person that's kind of got like that phony, like, you know, like salesy voice or networking voice, like, hi, here's my business card, you know, like, get out of here, bro. I don't want to talk to you. So I think for me, it's been just a look in the mirror, deciding that if I'm going to do this, I want to do it my way. And I want to just see how it goes. And if it seems like it's going well, so I'm happy with it, and I'm able to connect with listeners, I get some good feedback and all that kind of stuff. And I think I'm doing good for people. And that's only because I just leaned into who I was and kind of let my personality hang out. I mean, I had one of these hats, I wore it on an episode, and I was like, that looks kind of cool. So then I just bought a couple more and started wearing them. You know, like the same thing with the t-shirts. Like I used to wear a suit with a tie and the whole deal. And now I was like, I'm just going to get some t-shirts and just wear that, because to wearing a t-shirt, especially in quarantine, is a lot more comfortable than wearing a suit jacket, even though I'm wearing shorts underneath anyway. But yeah, so I would just say, you know, for anybody listening. Yeah, right. I mean, I always do put pants on. I mean, that's, you know, just because I just feel a little bit more comfortable. But yeah, so I mean, for your listeners, it's just a matter of just being like, you know, just if you're going to do it, why not just do it and make it as easy as possible for you? So I had somebody on my show say once that it's hard enough to be yourself. Like, why would you try to go be somebody else? So if you're constantly trying to put this show together and try to grow that show and also try to put on like this different persona that's not you, that's like, that's tough. I mean, you know, you're a podcaster, your new podcasters will learn that soon enough. So the more you are, the easier you make this whole process, because you don't have to constantly keep, you know, like, it's like, it's easy to get caught in a lie because you have to keep track of so many stories. So it's like easy to get caught in like this, you know, the wrong persona, because you're trying to put on this facade of fakeness and nobody wants to listen to that.
It took me 6 months to learn that. How long did it take you?
I would say probably like maybe 2 months in, maybe nice. Even earlier than that. I think I had my first inkling that I needed to be more myself after that first blooper video aired, because that was like the first time that I was, even though it was like B-roll content, like from episodes that I just cut out of old episodes, that was stuff that I think that I was able to kind of use my personality to make it funny and fun for people that were listening to it and for people that had, or watching it, I mean, and for people that had been on the show. That was like the first time I was like, oh, hey, like this is actually something that works. And then I did it again later on. I did it on holidays because I didn't want to waste somebody's video on a holiday on LinkedIn, because nobody goes on LinkedIn on Memorial Day or 4th of July or whatever. So that's why I did it that way. So that was like the first time I had. So Memorial Day 2020 was the first inkling that I had, like, I need to have more fun doing this. So yeah. I would say actually probably maybe like a month in, probably a month.
So by the way, again, to the listener, the show is called themorningspotlight.com. That's where you'll go to be able to download his episodes. Wherever you're listening to this, you'll be able to find his show as well, I'm sure. So his Instagram is at themorningspotlight. His website is themorningspotlight.com. The show is The Morning Spotlight. You can find it. And his LinkedIn link is also in the show notes. Mike, I want to ask a question that I ask all of my guests. Your logo with your frames, it's the same beard, it's the same frames that you have. Do you feel pigeonholed, like you couldn't switch to a goatee or have round frames now because you made your logo?
So I am actually totally bald now. I mean, not that I'm hiding it with the hat. I just like wearing hats. So this logo has a lot more hair than I actually do. But the logo itself has just become the brand. So, you know, I'm not going to switch it. I'm cool with it. I don't think I would ever shave my beard, because I feel like if I did, I would look like a fat 12-year-old. So we're going to keep the beard, and that just works with the logo. So I think I'm going to stick with it.
Good stuff. Thanks for jumping on. Any last words before we let you go?
No, man, I really appreciate you having me on. And just, you know, to everybody listening, just be yourself, have some fun. Because to me, podcasting has been like something that I did not expect to come out of the clear blue sky and come out of the muck that was 2020. And all of a sudden I just started doing this thing, had some fun with it, and now can't wait to just keep doing it for as long as I can. So just be yourself and have some fun.
Love that. And that was perfect. And I wish we could stop the episode there. However, have you noticed, Mike, that every single time that if you ask a guest, do you have any last words? What do they always say? No. And then they give you the last words. And when I'm being you just did it. And when I'm being interviewed on other people's podcasts, they're like, anything else you want to say, Adam? And I'm like, oh no, definitely not. But there is one thing. I think it's interesting. So I think I'm going to stop saying any last words, because it's a weird question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you ask that question ever?
No. So I just did it. I don't know if
I did
it again.
Teach me what I'm supposed to do, Mike.
Yeah, I do.
You're the coach now.
My style, I guess, is I do this whole conversation where we're bouncing all over the place. We're talking about different topics. We're talking about different stuff. I get to where I feel like the conversation has kind of started to wane a little bit, or we've covered all the stuff that I want to cover. And I jump it into my closing segment called Under the Spotlight. So they go under the spotlight, and that is their time to give me the last point. So if they listen to a 45-minute episode with Mike Hamm and Adam Adams, That is Adam Adams' time to tell me his last point. It could be something that we already talked about and he just wants to reiterate, or something that we haven't talked about and he wants to kind of just throw in there at the end that he thinks is important. And then as soon as they're done, I go, I love that. And then I just start going through my, you know, like, thank you to Adam for coming on. His links will be in the show notes, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for listening. But, and then I end it. So I don't give him a chance to kind of like reboot the conversation. It's like, here we are. This is the closing segment. If it's something like profound, maybe we'll talk about it for a second and I'm okay with that, like we just did. But usually, like, if I get to that closing segment and they give me that answer, that's it. Like, we're done. And then we get to the end. So that at least then the listeners know, like, here's under the spotlight. So I know this might be the most important thing that I've listened to this entire time. So that's kind of how I do it.
Nice. On one of my last podcasts, I've started more than one. I would go to that same place that you talked about, and then we would do a commercial break. We just like break for our sponsor. And then we'd get into the final five or the spotlight or the rapid fire round or whatever. Once it kind of wraps up, then we would take a commercial break and then jump into whatever it is that ends the podcast. But one thing that I want to say to the listener is Mike's right. His experience moving from his beginning and then learning after a month or two that he just needs to realize that he needs to be the same person in front of the camera as he is with his girlfriend, with his family, with his best friends. And that was helpful for him to be able to feel liberated, to get out there, not to worry so much about what people are thinking, and to actually start resonating with his audience. And I hope you take that away. And if you need any help growing a podcast, launching your podcast in the beginning, I do that. I help. Just go to growyourshow.com, schedule a call with me. I'd be more than happy to sit down with you, give you some tips, and get you to the next level. Thanks again, Mike. Thanks for coming on. I'm going to let you go. Bye,
Thanks,
brother.
Adam. I appreciate it, man.
You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this, and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first 6 episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.